Y'all are desperate when you get a great-great-grandpa to preach a youth rally. Well, I'm glad for the goodness of God. I've been saved all these years. I have no regrets. Amen. I appreciate the mercy and the goodness of God, and looking for the Lord to come. Last week, I was in Northwest Arkansas, and a dear friend of mine, Ricky knows him, from state of Florida, was there. He's a Catholic. He don't know much about holiness. I'm been the last few years got acquainted with him. I tried to give him some insight on how to get saved, but he came to me before service Sunday, and he said, "Do you ever get what they call the preacher's itch?" I said, "My dear friend, when I was young, I had the itch. But I have preached enough through the years that my itch is gone. But I do love to preach whenever I feel like God has a message on our hearts." Since Brother Sipe asked us if we would fill in for Brother Godby, and Brother Godby is a wonderful, wonderful preacher. I love to hear him. I've been considering and thinking what the Lord would have us to talk about tonight, and probably what I have on my heart will be totally opposite of what you're thinking you're going to get. But I trust that the Lord will help us. I think these are some of the most difficult times in the history of America, not only as a nation, as a church world. We are in difficult times. I was thinking the other day, and I was praying. I feel like that the Lord will help us if we really, really want revival. We can get and have revival. We're living in a generation that feels like they won't say this, but somewhere in their minds and hearts they think it. They can do anything during the week, live any kind of way, and go to church on Sunday and be all right. I lost some of y'all right there. Amen. But it ain't so. It ain't so. The black preacher said, "You're going to know who been living right after a while." Amen. But I do want to read one verse of scripture, and you don't even need to stand tonight. Just one verse, and it's a very short verse. In Luke chapter 15, and I don't know, I was thinking about this all week, and this verse come to my mind for the subject that I want to talk to you tonight about. Did y'all know, young people, look at me. I'm an old ugly man. But I've seen a lot of things in my life and dealt with a lot of problems. And whenever you come to the place in your life where you are ready to say, "I do," you remember this. It's forever.
Amen.
It is permanent.
Amen.
Well, Luke chapter 15, and one verse, short verse, and you may wonder what I'm going to do with it. Matter of fact, I'm wondering myself. Verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had two sons." A certain man had two sons. I don't want to do the scripture any injustice, but I could term it like this. A certain man had two daughters. Or a certain man had a daughter and a son.
Amen.
But when I looked at these verses this week, a certain man had two sons. I saw a family. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. A family. Most of you young people are going to get married someday. If you can find anybody that wants you. But you will. Everybody needs somebody. But I told one young person here some time ago, she's worried about being an old maid. She's 22. I said, it's better not to have something you want than to have something you don't want. So it's important. I want to say the family is vitally important. Hello. Amen. I read this little piece this week, and I thought it is so accurate for our time. I'm just going to take my time tonight. I'm at home if y'all didn't know it. But foundational Christians, believers, are under fire. Amen. Biblical morality is disdained and ignored. Just as troubling is the rising biblical ignorance in our nation. Amen. Even among churchgoers that don't know hardly anything about the Bible because they don't read it. Amen. But I want to put this verse under that. I think there's hope. Amen. If we can equip our young people who will carry the banner of Christianity forward to the next generation, if we can equip them with the biblical truth of righteousness and godliness and holiness, we have a great hope. I'm feeling better already. I'm not down on this generation. I think we have a great prospects among our young people. I know it's difficult. This generation is filled. Amen. When the time they get up in the morning till they go to bed at night, they are filled with the world's wickedness. Amen. In society. Doesn't matter, come on here, whether you're listening to the radio or you're on the computer, amen, are y'all stay with me, or whether you watch your ungodly, wicked television that you shouldn't have, amen, you are overwhelmed with sex-driven society, amen, whether it's a program, come on here. Amen. I remember when I was young, they preached against Leave It to Beaver. Come on here. In comparison now, Leave It to Beaver is Sunday school material. The wickedness that is in our society is unbelievable. Amen. And our young people are inundated with that trash from the time they get up in the morning till they go to bed. And it doesn't matter if it's a program or a commercial on the radio, amen, or just advertisement on the highway, on billboards and signs. This is a sex-driven generation. Come on, y'all stay with me here. I got a lot to say tonight, and I haven't got much time to say it, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Amen. We are a spoiled generation. Really, we are. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. I remember, y'all hear me talk about it all the time. When I was a boy going to school, we walked, amen, halfway to school and rode a bus the other half. Amen. But, amen. But it's different nowadays. Junior don't have to worry about walking to school. And most of the time, don't even have to worry about riding a bus to school. Amen. We have a blue-collar society of people. We are blessed people. We have more goods and material substance than this generation has ever had. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. We is working around the house today, trying to get things together and looking better for, amen, homecoming and company coming in and vendors coming in. And amen. The wife fixed me a sandwich to sit down at the table. Amen. And I started to sit down there, and it dawned on me, we are blessed. We are blessed to have a sandwich that's paid for, not on the credit card. Somebody say amen. Y'all stay with me a while. You see, I remember when I only had one hamburger in a 2 weeks period of time. Amen. Just one hamburger. Amen. And that was called a forced fast. Ah, but I want to tell you, every time I take a bite of a sandwich today, I say, God, I'm thankful for that sandwich. I remember when there was none. Amen. But you've been faithful and you've been good. Come on here. Amen. We now are living in probably the most selfish generation that has ever existed. Come on, I want to talk to y'all a while. I felt like the Lord dealt with my heart about the family tonight. Did y'all know that sin is selfish? Sin is self-centered, and it's only concerned about me and mine and I. Amen, but I want to tell you, there's something better than me, mine, and I. That's an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ that makes you a new creature in Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings tonight. Woo! I may get a little tighter. Amen. But many, many of our teenagers and young 20-year-olds, amen, are challenging the standards of their parents, amen, that has come on here, tried to tell them a right way. Now, don't go to saying amen yet, because I ain't got through with that subject. Amen. The older generation, help me here now, the older generation that has told the young preacher, the young people, amen, don't do as I do as I say do, and the young generation has saw through that hypocrisy, come on here, and they are challenging their mom and daddy's standards, amen, because they have saw that mom and daddy really didn't live it when they were at home or on the job. They only had a profession when they went to church. But I want to tell you, great God, amen, young people, hear this old gray-headed man tonight. Get a hold of something that is real. Get a hold of something that's right. Get a hold of something that you know that if you leave out of this world tonight, amen, you'd be able to pass him through the pearly gates without any trouble. Amen. Don't live a hypocritical life. Amen. We got enough hypocrites. We need some young people that'll stand up and say, by the help and grace of God, I will live for God. Woo! I'm feeling better. Somebody say amen now. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. But this is one thing that a Democratic president said years ago. I'm going to pass it on to you. Amen. President Lyndon Johnson, 1965. Woo! Y'all know how long ago that's been. It's in the last century. Amen. He said, and I quote, "The family is the cornerstone of our society. More than any other force, it shapes the attitude, the hopes, the ambitions, and the values of the child. And when the family collapses, it is the children that are usually damaged. And when it happens on a massive scale, the community itself is crippled. Amen. And I could add to that, our nation is crippled. So goes the family, so goes the nation. So goes the family, so goes the church, so goes the nation. And young people, we've got to have young people, amen, that are willing to bear the load and bear the responsibility and bear the embarrassment of being a Christian. Somebody say amen. This society of America now, amen, thanks to be a Christian is, amen, almost obscene to them, amen, because they know nothing about values of home. Amen. But God give us some young people, amen, that will square their shoulders and say, by the help and grace of God, I will keep myself pure until marriage. Amen. And I'll keep my life pure because I want to serve Christ. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you something. 1960, there were 393,000 divorces granted here in the United States. 1960. 1970, there were 706,000 divorces. 1980, there were 1,189,000 divorces. Divorces. 1994, there were 1,191,000 divorces, and that number has tripled since 1994. God help us as a nation. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the family, if God will be my helper. Amen. Young people, listen to me. Get your heart right. Get your mind right. Get your thinking right. Amen. And settle it in your heart. Amen. That when you get married, you get married for life. Amen. When you stand before the preacher. Come on. Are y'all still with me tonight? Amen. And says, the preacher says to you, do you take this man to be your wedded husband or your this woman to be your wedded wife, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, in the good that may lighten your days, in the bad that may darken your ways. So help you God, do you want to do that? Amen. If you don't, stay out of marriage. Quit bringing a reproach. Hey, God, come on here. Amen. We've got as many divorces and remarried people in the church world as they do out there in Hollywood. Amen. It's almost like changing socks. Amen. You wash them once a week. Amen. That's almost as bad as divorce and remarriage is becoming in the American church world. Get your heart right. Come on here. Woo, I'm feeling better. Some years ago now, am I doing all right? Some years ago, I was talking to a couple, amen, that was having trouble. Woo, Lord, help me. Yeah, this ain't in my notes, so y'all can just take it rough. Amen. And she said to me, and there's fussing and fighting and arguing and carrying on, raising the devil in the home and raising little children. I said, what do you think these kids are going to be when they get grown? They're going to be fighters, fussers. Come on here. I lost some of y'all there. She said, but Brother Savage, I just don't love him anymore. I said, what's that got to do with it? You took a vow before God for better or for worse. He may be a scoundrel, but you're still obligated to him. Yeah. God. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. That's good preaching, Brother Savage. Thank you. Amen. I believe I'll go again. Amen. I said to that lady, I said, ma'am, do you understand the Bible? Do you understand what the scripture said? Amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. That you have to love him? Come on. She said, but I just don't love him anymore. I said, then you can't go to heaven. Her face straightened up. She quit crying. She said, you mean I can't go to heaven without loving him? I lost y'all right there. I said, the Bible tells us, wives, to love your own husbands, not somebody else's. Love your own husbands. Woo! Glory to God, I'm preaching about the family tonight. Amen. She said, I don't love him as my husband. And then I said, you need to come down one step on the ladder. Amen. Come on here. Amen. The Bible said to love your neighbor as yourself. She scratched her head and she said, I don't know whether I can do that or not. Then I said, there's one more round that you can step down on to start this thing on the right direction. Love your enemies. And I said, if you can't love him as your enemy, you will not go to heaven. You'll die and go to hell over it. Your heart's full of bitterness and hate. Come on here. Amen. You can't get over some things in the past that, amen, that God's by his divine mercy is able to forgive him and you both of. Amen. You got to start on this ladder somewhere if you want to go to heaven. Amen. If you want to go to heaven, come on here. Amen. Start loving him as your enemy. Praise God. And when you get to where you can really can love him as your enemy, boy, am I doing all right. Amen. I said, you pray that through real good, then you can get one step higher on the rung of the ladder and you can start loving him as your neighbor. Amen. And the Bible said, love your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. Hey. Amen. And then I said, when you really get prayed through real good and get all the ill feelings and bitterness out of your heart, amen, come on here. Amen. I said, God will give you the grace and the strength and the power, amen, to love him as your husband. Amen. But you cannot go to heaven if you don't love him. Praise God, you won't sell many of these here tapes. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I remember years and years ago, I read this story. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Time's getting away from me. I haven't even got past the introduction. Years ago, this woman, amen, married this man, and she really didn't love him like she ought to. It's just kind of a family force thing. She married him, and he was one of those demanding guys. Yeah, you do it the way I want it done. Yeah. He wanted his eggs cooked a certain way. Well, am I done all right? He wanted his fork on a certain side of the plate at the table at a certain side time every morning for breakfast. He wanted his coffee cup hot, steaming hot. Sounds pretty good to me. Amen. And he wanted the newspaper, the morning newspaper, on the right side so he could read it while he was eating his sausage and eggs for breakfast. He was very demanding. Didn't have much mercy. Didn't have much consideration for his, boy, am I doing all right, for his wife at all. I mean, she just about lived a miserable life. You can imagine how that old codger being demanding and living with an old man like that. Amen. And she lived that way. She stayed true. She lived with him. Amen. Until he died. The old codger died. Am I doing all right now? In time, year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was, I forget the time. I mean, this is a true story. Yeah. Amen. She married again. This time she married the man she married because she really loved him. She really loved him. Amen. Before I got married, I was going with another girl in Oklahoma City. And when I met my wife, I was on the rebound. She jilted me. And this girl's daddy was a straight-faced man. He's a good Christian man. He really was. But there was no jolliness about him or laughter. He's about like my daddy was. Hardly ever laughed or smiled. And I was scared to death of him. I was just a teenager. Amen. I didn't have much sense then either. But he saw that we was getting kind of serious. At least he thought we were. And he caught me one day off by myself, and he said, "Young man, I want to talk to you." Man, scared me. Young teenager, didn't have no sense. Thought I was in love with this girl. Come on here. Hey, man, scared of her daddy. He said, "Young man, do you know what love is?" Shocked me. How do you answer your girlfriend's daddy like that? I didn't have an answer, Brother Alvin. Amen. And finally he said, "Well, I'll tell you what love is." He said, "Love is an inward compelling desire to make the other one happy, regardless of the sacrifice to yourself." I've never forgot that. Now, if Brother Roy was here tonight, he'd say, "If you can't remember that, write it down, because you'll probably need it after a while." Are y'all still with me? Amen. Am I doing all right? I'm talking to you about the family. The most important cornerstone of our society is the family. And if the family disintegrates, and this breaks my heart. I'm an old man. I've been preaching 55 years. Amen. And it bothers me that we've got so many young people in our churches, young married people that are getting divorces and separations. And amen, help me here. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to live in peace. God's plan is to love each other until death do you part. Amen. And if you have to start on the bottom rung, amen, love your enemy if you have to. Amen. But start somewhere. Amen. And make sure that your life is in tune with God. Amen. And you can have a happy marriage. Man, man, man. I'm in trouble here tonight. We have to admit that this generation, and I don't know how to say this, because some of y'all wasn't even born in the 1960s. But this generation is carrying a lot of the 1960s cultural baggage. The mentality that swept our country. It was baggage of rebellion. Baggage of, are y'all still with me? Opposed to any figure of authority. Amen. Come on. Am I doing all right here? Amen. That's produced not only a storm raging in the hearts of individuals, amen, but a storm raging in the soul of our whole nation is in trouble because of rebellion. rebellion in the hearts of people. Amen. Our church world, come on here. Amen. Our church world is at risk tonight because of this baggage of rebellion that, amen, not only was in the 1960s, amen, but as I read to you the statistics, amen, of our society, the divorces have increased and doubled and tripled since 1960, and we wonder where it's going to end up. And I heard on the news this week, amen, that we have more divorces, amen, in America right now than we do marriages, amen, and that's not counting those that just shacking up and living together out of the matrimony, out of the wedlock. Amen. Come on here. I'm preaching tonight. Amen. And we wonder why, great God, we wonder why Katrina storm has shook this nation. Amen. We wonder why. Are y'all still with me? We wonder why the tornadoes have swept this country. We wonder why we have the problems in Washington, D.C. that we don't know where this country is going. Amen. It's because, amen, that men and women have so far drifted from the principles of righteousness, they don't even know what's right anymore. Woo! Ah, no one tell you the American family stands in the center of this storm. It's leaving a trail of social devastation and destruction. Divorce in American life has progressed. Get this. Divorce in America has progressed from rare to common to fashionable. It's a fashionable thing now. It's never frowned on. It's never, come on here. It's never looked at in a bad light or a negative light. It's become a part of the cultural landscape in the United States. Amen. And I say again tonight, as the family goes, so goes the church, and so goes the nation. It's become, God help me, I'm in. Whoo, y'all deserve better. Y'all should have got a young preacher preaching tonight. Divorce has become such a part of our everyday American life that we don't even think anything about it anymore. It's embedded in our laws. Come on here. No fault divorce. Nobody's fault. You can just go file for it and you get it without going to court. Come on here. Amen. It's embedded in our institutions of higher learning. Amen. Come on here. Our manners, the movies that you watch, shame on you if you do. Amen. And your television shows that you watch, and shame on you if you do. Amen. The novels that you read and the children's storybooks, amen, are all embedded with divorce and divorce, and it's acceptable. It's okay. Amen. If it don't work out with this one, just, amen, go get your divorce and get you another one. Amen. That mentality has ruined the church world. Boy, oh boy, help me here. Amen. And our families are in trouble. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Ah, don't fall out with me. Don't fall out with me. I'm not going to preach but another 3.5 hours. Amen. Amen. And Ricky will pardon me if he would. I love that boy. I love him. I mean, I really do. But I remember when his mother and daddy went through separation and divorce. Ricky was just a child. Came to our Christian school here. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Ricky was one and still is in some degree. Amen. He keeps all his feelings and emotions inside. His brother's the opposite. His brother just blabbers out everything. Amen. But he would come to school. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. His mama and his daddy, which he loved both. amen, was going through the struggles and the horrors and the rigors, amen, of separation and divorce. And he'd come to school and sit in that little cubicle, amen, come on here, amen, and for an hour more every morning while other kids was working on their schoolwork, I'd come by, amen, and I'd look at him and I'd pat him on the back and I'd say, son, I love you, just a boy, amen, and tears running down his cheeks, amen, for an hour, sometimes more, because he loved both mama and both daddy, amen, and the home is torn apart, and you, sir, and you, ma'am, young people, you'll never know what goes through the mind and the heart of those children, those precious darling children, amen, because you want to satisfy your own selfish motives and desires and passions. Amen. Come on here. Somebody's going to answer to God. Amen. For the direction America is heading in. Am I doing all right? I'm grateful to God that God got a hold of Ricky's heart in his teenage years. Amen. Amen. The family is as vital to the health of a nation as the immune system is to the health of the human body. If your immune system in this physical body gets out of kilter and the immune system gets weak, you are subject. Boy, am I doing all right. You are subject to catch every disease and every germ and every cold and every infection that comes your way because your immune system is down. Oh, let me read your scripture if I can find it. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. Hey, young married couples, I want to tell you, amen, I don't care how much you pray, if you pray 10 hours a day, if you're not right with your companion, your prayers will not get answered. Woo! Somebody say amen. Ah, the family is as healthy, amen, to this nation as the immune system is the health of the human body. Amen. It's the first line of defense. Amen. The health of the nation will be determined by the well-being of the family. And the fitness of the family is ultimately determined by the character of the individuals. When people, and we are seeing this in American culture, when people turn from the absolute truths of God's word, the foundation of building a secure home and family erodes and disintegrates and falls by the wayside. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you, America, our church world families has never been faced with an onslaught against it as great as the one we are encountering right now at the beginning of this 21st century. And even those who are deeply committed to making their marriage successful find it difficult in times when everything in society seems to work against families. Even the phrase family values has been so politicized and depersonalized today that people aren't even sure what it means. And I want to tell you, young people, I pray to God that you young people right here tonight can start a new generation on the right road of commitment. You hear me? When my wife and I stood before the preacher and said, "I do," I meant it. And it's lasted 53 years and getting better. Years ago when I was a young preacher, I had a young preacher friend of mine in Oklahoma, and he'd got a call to pastor a church up in, I shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to, up in Kansas. And so him and his wife and had, I think if I remember right, they had one child, and they went to Kansas out there and way out in West Kansas, out in Boot Hill country, and they started pastoring this church. And this young preacher and his wife got in arguments, disagreements. Of course, nobody's here has ever had one. I'm just y'all, that's strange vocabulary to y'all. And it got pretty heated. And it got heated so bad until she ran into the bedroom, cried, grabbed her suitcase out of the closet, went over to the dresser, and started just pulling her things out of the dresser drawer and just throwing them in the suitcase. Directly he come in and said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going home to mama." So he grabs his suitcase and he starts piling his stuff in there, just throwing it in there anyway. She looked across the bed and she said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going home to your mama too." You can make it if you want to make it. When times get rough and difficult, praise God, the best thing you can do is have a prayer meeting. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I wish I could say I have always done everything right and perfect, but I ain't. In our young marriage, we had disagreements like everybody else, and it took us a while. She is a better preacher than I was. That's true. No joke. She was. She'd get more people saved than I could shake a stick at. Ha! Man, she could just get up in 15 minutes. I mean, she was done over and had 25 more. Woo! That'll set your ego on fire. We was in a revival in Church of God in Houston, Texas. And there's an old brother there. He's pastor of the church, and he was there's in Church of God church. His name was Brother Collins. Wasn't in the kind of LL. Amen. And he saw what was happening to us. And he got us together one day. He said, "I need to talk to y'all." The old man. We was young chicks. But she was the chick. I guess I was a rooster. I got that straightened out. Woo! Glory to God. And he said to me, he said, "Young man, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You are going to have to make a choice and a decision. You can just take a back seat, let her do the preaching. Are y'all still with me? Get people saved and act like you got some sense. Or else you can put your knees on the floor and your nose in the book, and you can go to seeking the face of God. Amen. Come on here. Until God rings the truth in your heart, in your life, and your ministry begins to expand. Amen. Oh, I didn't like that kind of preaching to me. But he was right. I said he was right. Amen. He said, if you will do that, her ministry will begin to subside and her ministry will take another direction. Amen. And God will direct your life. Amen. To where you can be the leader and spiritual leader in your home that God intended for you to be. Say, young men, you listen to me. Amen. You are responsible to God for the direction of your home. Hallelujah. You can fight and you can fuss and you can scrap. Amen. Until y'all all want to go home to mama. Amen. Or else, come on here. Amen. You can be what that husband now word means. Amen. That husband word is taken from two old Anglo-Saxon words, house band. Amen. And you can be the spiritual. Come on here. You can be the spiritual man in your house, and you can bring your family and an altar of prayer, and the Holy Ghost can make you, amen, such an example to others that others will want to pattern their life after you. Amen. Great God, I'm feeling like I want to shout. I want to tell you, the family is the most important unit in the church. And if we don't have young people that have a vision for the truth of the gospel, amen, and love their companion, amen, our churches are going to disintegrate. Amen. And we'll be like all the rest of the worldly churches. Amen. We've got to have a revival in our homes. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Now I'm going to close. And the reason I'm preaching to you like I'm preaching to you is because I've been there. And I know what it's like. And I know what it takes for God to make something worthwhile out of your life. Somebody say amen. My wife has become a common name household all over this country. I teased her when she was writing all those books and editing those books. I said, baby, I said, somebody's going to say, do you know L.D. Savage? Who? Oh, you know Shirley Savage's husband. Oh, yeah, I know her. I want to tell you, amen, it really doesn't matter what vineyard that we're working in the work of God, as long as we do what we are required to do by God's holy book. Somebody say amen. I'm going to close. I know. I'm overtime. I'm in overtime. Whew. I want to tell you, you don't. I thought this week, preaching to a youth rally, an old great-grandpa. But I want to tell you, I've been where you are. I really have. And as a young man, I went to the bowling alleys and went to church. I shot pool and went to church. Might shock somebody. Are y'all still with me? I watched TV and went to church. Until one day while in prayer, the sweet Holy Ghost come down. And I got lost in that sweet presence. Somebody say amen. And when God got through with my heart, I lost the desire to even shoot pool. Come on here. I found something, y'all listen to me, so much better than wasting time watching movies and TV. Somebody say amen. Ah, amen. Take that ball. Shoo. down the alley. Amen. Are y'all still with me? See if I can knock all 10 pins down in one row. But I found something better. Praise God. And more thrilling and more exciting. And I surrendered everything to the Lord. And God sanctified my life and my heart. We have a generation that has never had a real sanctifying experience. Boy, am I doing all right tonight. Hey, and this youth rally. Oh, God, help me. Amen. Help me, help me. Are y'all still with me now? Amen. How many give you 5 more minutes? Good. I got plenty. Amen. But 25 of you there. 25 times 5 is how much? Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, when you really give your heart to God totally, you lose the attraction. Somebody said, well, when you get sanctified, it's the second definite work of grace. Amen. Come on here. Root, shoot, and fruit. Somebody else said, well, you got to get it progressively. And it's going to take you 10 years. We have fought and fussed over sanctification so long, don't even know what it means. Where was I the other day? I told this story, and I'm going to close. Sometime between here and midnight. I believe I was right here at my home church. If home people, y'all heard this, you can just act like you haven't. This Christian man was talking to this sinner man, telling him how good God was and how good being sanctified was. And this sinner man said, are you really sanctified? Are you really sanctified? And the church-going man said, I sure am. Said, I'm really sanctified. No sinner man hauled off and slapped him upside the face and left his red imprint of his hand on his face. And before that sinner man ever knew what hit him, that church-going man had hit him right in the nose and knocked him flat on the ground. Sinner man got up and said, I thought you said you were sanctified. Church-goer said, I thought it was too. But when you really get sanctified, come on here. When you really get sanctified, I know. I've been there. I've done it. I've been spit at. I've been hit. Come on here. I've been talked about. I've been lied about. Amen. I've been talked ugly to. Ugly phone calls. Ugly letters. I got an ugly letter a week before last. Amen. I didn't even tell my wife for 10 days. Amen. Somebody didn't even from this area. Nasty old letter. I just throwed it in the trash. Praise God. I want to tell you, if you really get sanctified, amen, you can smile and say, hallelujah, I'm saved by grace and washed in the blood, looking for Jesus to come. You don't know how to deal with some problems in situations until you have been there and you have come through it and you know how to overcome it. I remember the man put a sign in his yard, and I'm closing while I continue to close. The sign was like this: puppies for sale. And among those who came to inquire was a little boy. Please, mister, I'd like to buy one of your puppies if it don't cost too much. Well, son, they're $25 a piece. The boy's countenance crushed and fell, and he dropped his head and said, sir, I've only got $2.50. Could I see him anyhow? Of course. Maybe we can work something out, son. The little boy's eyes danced as he saw those little balls of fur picked him up, hugged him, and stroked him. Little boy said, "Sir, I heard that one of them's got a bad leg." He said, "Yes. I'm afraid she'll really be crippled for life, son." "Well, that's the puppy I want. Could I pay for her a little bit at a time?" "But son, you don't understand. She'll always be a cripple. She'll always limp." Little boy, smiling, pulled up one pant leg and showed the man he too had a brace on his leg. He said, "Sir, I don't walk very good either." And he said, "I guess this crippled puppy will need a lot of love and help." "I sure did. It's not easy being a crippled." The man with his broken heart reached down and picked up that crippled puppy, put it in the boy's arms, and said, "Hey, you take her. I just got a feeling that you're going to give her a good home. Don't even worry about the money." Amen. I want to tell you and I both was a cripple. But there was somebody that came by one day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With nail prints in his hands and his feet. Spear pierced side. And said, "I've been where you are. But you can go where I'm going." Praise God. And out of a heart of love, he picked you up. And then picked me up in his great big arms. And he toted us off to Calvary. Glory to God. And we found a new life and a new hope. Amen. That God loves us too. I'm closing. Well, they come with a song. Somebody come, please. I want to tell you, young people, hear this old gray-haired preacher man. Make your life count for God. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Make it count for God. And whenever you leave out of here, I'm an old man. I haven't got many years left. And when I leave out of this world into another one, I want somebody to say, "He cared. He cared for lost souls." Jesus loves every one of us. Make your mark for God. I've preached too long. I know I have. Oh, young people, please. Don't throw your life away. Don't waste it just because you got your feelings hurt. Pack your bag and go home to mama with her. God's grace will give you all the mercy and love that you need to face the challenges now. I know. It's not very good for you. You deserve better. Amen. But I'd like for somebody to feel like they need the help of God while you're yet young. Somebody said, what age should I develop a prayer life? Right now. obey the Lord. While the Holy Ghost is hovering over this congregation tonight and this wonderful crowd of young people, I wonder if there's one precious young person that'll raise your hand while the Holy Ghost has spoken. Brother Savage, I want my life to count. I don't want to waste it. Let me see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Is there any more? Any more? Any more? Oh, God. Any more want to raise your hand, preacher? I want to make my life count. I might need to make some changes and do things different. I don't want to be a waste. Anybody else? God bless that precious heart. I'm going to wait just a moment here. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. The Holy Ghost has spoken in tongues tonight. But the interpretation is in your heart. You know God's dealing with you. Anybody else? Real quick. Everybody stand. Praise God. Oh God. I wish those that raised your hand that you want to make your life count, make your mark for God. Don't be a wasted life. Won't you come on the altar? Take some time. Seek the face of the Lord. God bless you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. The Holy Ghost is hovering over this service here tonight. Oh God. Ilabakusa pakatayan si lebihita. Come on, saints of God. Let's gather in the altar. Gather around these and pray. Amen. They need the help of the Lord. Oh God.